The bandits didn't look like the kind Waxillium was used to. They didn't mask their faces with kerchiefs or wear dusters and wide-brimmed ruffs hats. Most of them wore vests and bowler-style city hats, dull trousers, and loose, buttoned shirts that were rolled to the elbows. They weren't better dressed, really, just different. They were well-armed, rifles held at shoulders for many, pistols in the hands of others. There were at least 24 bandits, perhaps 3. Waxillium noticed with dissatisfaction that some more were coming in from the right, through the doors to the kitchens. They would have left men behind to watch the staff and keep them from running for help.
Hell of a time to leave your guns.
Wayne moved off his seat and crouched beside the table, slipping his twin hardwood dueling canes out from underneath.
Put those down.
What?
There were 35 men Waxillium could see. Most were congregated at the two ends of the rectangular ballroom, directly in front of and behind Waxillium. He was in almost the very center of the room.
Put the canes down, Wayne.
You can't mean...
Look at this room. How many bystanders are there in here? 300? 4? What will happen if we provoke a firefight?
You could protect them. Push them out of the way.
Maybe. It would be very risky. So far, none of these robberies have turned violent. I won't have you turning this one into a bloodbath.
I don't have to listen to you. You're not in charge of me anymore, Wax.
Waxillium met his eyes and held them. Looking reluctant, Wayne slid back up into his seat. He didn't put down the dueling canes, but he did keep his hands under the tablecloth, hiding them from view. Marcy had turned, watching the thieves begin to move through the rooms, her eyes wide and her rose lips parted.
Oh my.
She spun around, digging at her pocketbook with trembling fingers. She whipped out a small notepad and a pencil.
What are you doing?
Writing down descriptions. Did you know that statistically only 1 out of 2 witnesses can accurately describe a criminal who assaulted them? Worse, 7 out of 10 will pick the wrong man out of a lineup if a similar but more threatening man is presented. In the moment, you are far more likely to overestimate the height of an assailant, and you will often describe him as being similar to a villain from a story you've recently heard. It's vital if you are witnessing a crime to pay special attention to the details of those involved. Oh, I'm babbling, aren't I?
She looked terrified, but she started writing anyway, jotting down descriptions of every criminal.
We never needed to do stuff like that.
Wayne eyed the thieves as they leveled guns at the partygoers.
Seeing as to how if we witness a crime, the guys doing it are usually dead by the end.
He shot Waxillium a glare. Several thieves began forcing cooks and servers out of the kitchens to join the guests.
If you please.
One of the robbers shouldered a gun.
Sit down, remain calm, and be quiet.
He had a solid, though not tall, build, with bulging forearms and a mottled grayish complexion, almost as if his face were made of granite.
Kolos blood. Dangerous.
The bride's mother appeared to have fainted, and the wedding party was hunkered down, the groom looking angry with a protective arm over his new wife. A second vanisher stepped forward. This one, in contrast to the others, wore a mask, a knit cloth covering his face, with a ruff's hat atop it.
That's better.
Something about that voice struck Waxillium.
If you're sensible, we'll be done with this in a matter of moments.
The masked vanisher walked amid the tables as about a dozen of the bandits began to fan through the room, opening large sacks.
All we want is your jewelry. Nobody needs to get hurt. It would be a shame to spoil such a fine party as this with bloodshed. Your jewelry isn't worth your life.
Waxillium glanced toward Lord Harms, who was still sitting by the bar. He'd begun patting his face with a handkerchief. The men with the sacks quickly fanned out through the room, stopping at each table and gathering necklaces, rings, earrings, pocketbooks, and watches.
Wax! We need to get through this alive without anyone getting hurt. Then we can give our reports to the constables.
But I will not be the cause of these people dying, Wayne!
Blood on the bricks. A body in a leather coat slumping to the ground. A grinning face dying with a bullet in the forehead. Winning, even as he died. Not again. Never again. Waxillium squeezed his eyes closed. Never again.
How dare you!
Waxillium glanced to the side. A man at a nearby table had stood up, shaking off the hand of the stout woman beside him. He had a thick, graying beard and wore a suit of an older cut, tails in the back reaching all the way down to his ankles.
I will not stay quiet, Martin! I am a constable of the 8th Guard.
This drew the attention of the bandit leader. The masked man strolled toward the outspoken man, shotgun resting easily on his shoulder.
Ah, Lord Peteris, I believe it is.
He waved to a pair of bandits and they rushed forward, weapons trained on Peteris.
Retired chief of the 8th Constabulary. We'll be needing you to give up your weapon.
How dare you commit a robbery here, at a wedding celebration? This is outrageous. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Ashamed?
The bandit leader's minions patted down Peteris and pulled a pistol, Granger Model 28, optional thick grip, out of his shoulder holster.
To rob these? After what you people have done to the roughs all these years? This isn't shameful. This is payback.
There is something about that voice, something familiar. Quiet down, Peteris. Don't provoke them.
In the name of the law, I will see you hunted down and hanged.
The outlaw leader smacked Peteris across the face, knocking him to the ground.
What know your sort of the law? And be careful about warning people you're going to see them executed. That gives them less reason to hold back. Rust and ruin, you people sicken me.
He waved for his lackeys to resume gathering riches.
The bandits really are interested in the money. See? They make each person at the table speak to find jewelry hidden in mouths. Notice how they make each one stand up and then do a quick check of their pockets and around their seats?
Of course. They're interested in the money. That's the expected motive for robbery, after all.
It's the hostages, too, though. I'm sure of it.
Originally, he'd assumed the robberies were just a cover for the bandits' real purpose. If that were the case, however, they wouldn't be so thorough about the money.
Hand me your notebook.
She glanced at him.
Now.
Waxillium sprinkled steel dust into his wine, then reached under the table. She hesitantly handed over the notebook as a bandit walked toward their table. It was the gray-skinned one with the thick neck.
Wayne, bat on the wall.
Wayne nodded curtly, sliding over his dueling canes. Waxillium drank his wine and pressed the spiral-bound notebook and the dueling canes against his side of their square table. He slipped a small metal rod from his sleeve and pressed it against the canes, then burned steel. Lines sprang up around him, one pointed toward the rod and another to the notebook's wire coil. He lightly pushed against them, then let go. The canes and the notebook remained pressed against the table's side, obscured by the tablecloth, which draped down over them. He had to be careful not to push too hard lest he move the table. The bandit came to their table, proffering his sack. Marcy was forced to take off her small pearl necklace, the only jewelry she was wearing. With shaking hands, she searched in her pocketbook for any bills, but the bandit just snatched the entire thing and dumped it into his sack.
Please, please, don't hurt us.
Waxillium pulled out his pocket watch, then dumped it to the table. He yanked its chain free of his vest and threw it in the sack. Then he got out his pocketbook and tossed it in, conspicuously pulling out both of his pockets with shaking hands to show he had nothing else.
That'll do, mate.
Don't hurt me.
Sit back down, you rusting git.
The bandit looked back at Marcy. He leered, then patted her down. She bore it with a deep blush, particularly when the patting down turned into a few solid gropes.
Nothing else. Why'd I get the poor tables? And you?
He glanced at Wayne. Behind them, another of the bandits found Wayne's servant's coat under the table, holding it up with a confused expression.
Do I look like I got anything of value, mate? I'm just here by mistake. Was begging in the kitchen when I heard you blokes coming.
The bandit patted Wayne's pockets anyway. He found nothing, then checked under the table. Finally, he snatched Wayne's hat off his head. He threw away his own hat. He was wearing a knit cap underneath, aluminum peeking through the holes. Then walked off, sticking Wayne's hat on his head over the cap.
He took my lucky hat, Wax.
Steady.
Waxillium handed Marcy back her notebook so she could return to taking covert notes.
Why didn't you hide your pocketbook as you did the notebook?
Some of the bills in it are marked.
Waxillium watched the masked leader. He was consulting something in his hand, something like a couple of crinkled up sheets of paper.
That'll allow the constables to track where they get spent, if they do get spent.
Marked? So you did know we'd be robbed?
What? Of course I didn't.
But...
Wax always carries some unmarked bills, just in case.
Oh, that's very unusual.
Wax has his own special brand of paranoid, miss. Huh? Is that bloke doing what I think he's doing?
Yes.
What?
Comparing faces to drawings in his hand. He's looking for the right person to take as a hostage. Look how he's strolling through the tables, checking every woman's face. He's got a few others doing it too.
They fell silent as the leader strolled past them. He was accompanied by a fine-featured fellow with a scowl on his face.
I'm telling you, the boys are getting jumpy. You can't give them all this and never let them fire the bloody things.
The masked leader studied everyone at Wax's table for a moment, then moved on.
You're gonna have to let the boys loose sooner or later, boss. I think you gotta do it sooner.
Nearby, Peteris, the former constable, had gotten back up into his seat. His wife was holding a napkin to his bleeding head.
This is the best way. I've seen their faces. I'll be able to track down who they are when they spend my money. I'll find them and fight them on my own terms.
But he wouldn't. He'd let the constables do that part, wouldn't he? Wasn't that what he kept telling himself? A sudden disturbance from the far side of the chamber drew his eyes.
Oh, no.
A few bandits led a couple of frazzled-looking women into the hall, one of them, Steris. It looked like they'd finally thought to sweep the ladies' room. The other bandits were making pretty good time gathering goods. There were enough of them that it didn't take too long, even with this large crowd.
All right! Grab a hostage!
Too loud.
Who should we take?
They're making a show of it.
I don't care.
He wants us to think he's picking one at random.
Any of them will do. Say, that one.
The leader waved at Steris. One of the previous abductees was her cousin. Of course. She was in the same line.
Actually, we'll take two this time.
He sent his Kolos-blooded lackey running back toward the tables of people.
Now nobody follow or they'll get hurt. Remember, a few jewels aren't worth your life. We'll cut the hostages loose once we're sure we aren't being followed.
Lies. What do you want with them? Why are you...
You'll do. You're coming for a ride with us, pretty.
Marcy jumped as he touched her, dropping her notepad.
Here now. What's this?
Another bandit picked it up, looking through it.
All it's got is words, Tarson.
Idiot. You can't read, can you?
Tarson craned over.
Here now. That's a description of me, isn't it?
I just wanted to remember for my journal, you see.
I'm sure.
Tarson tucked the notebook into a pocket. His hand came out with a pistol, which he lowered at her head. Marcy grew pale. Quaxilium stood up, steel burning in his stomach. The other bandit's pistol was trained at his head a second later.
Your lady will be just fine with us, old boy. Up you go.
He pulled Marcy to her feet, then pushed her before him toward the northern exit. Quaxilium stared down the barrel of the other bandit's pistol. With a mental push, he could send that gun with a snap back into its owner's face, perhaps break his nose. The bandit looked like he wanted to pull the trigger. He looked eager, excited by the thrill of the robbery. Quaxilium had seen men like that before. They were dangerous. The bandit hesitated, then glanced at his friends and finally broke off, jogging toward the exit. Another was shoving Steris toward the door.
Wax!
How could a man of honor watch something like this? Every instinct of justice Quaxilium had demanded he do something. Fight.
Wax, mistakes happen. Lessie wasn't your fault.
Aye.
Wayne grabbed his dueling canes.
Well, I'm gonna do something.
It's not worth the cost of lives, Wayne. This isn't just about me. It's true, Wayne.
How dare you! Cowards! I will be your hostage if you require one! Cowards! You are dogs! Each and every one of you! I'll see you hanged! Take me instead of one of those girls, or it will happen! I swear it by the survivor himself!
Peteris stumbled after the retreating boss, passing lords, ladies, and the wealthy, most of whom had gotten down and were hiding under their tables.
There goes the only man in this room with any courage.
Steris was almost to the door. Marcy and her captor were catching up to the boss.
I can't let this happen.
Coward!
The masked bandit leader suddenly spun, his hands snapping out. As Peteris collapsed in a heap, smoke curled in the air over the bandit boss's pistol.
Oh, you just made a bad mistake, mate. A very bad mistake.
The boss turned away from the body, holstering his gun.
Fine. You can have some fun, boys. Burn it out of your blood quickly and meet me outside. Let's get going.
Suddenly, everyone stopped in place. The curling smoke hung motionless. In a circle around Waxillium's table, the air rippled just faintly. Wayne stood up, shouldering his dueling canes, inspecting the room. He was placing each and every one of the bandits, Quaxilium knew, judging distances, preparing himself.
As soon as I drop the bubble, this place is going to erupt like an ammunition store on a volcano.
Quaxilium calmly reached into his jacket and slid a hidden pistol from beneath his arm. He set it on the table.
Well,
That's a terrible metaphor. How would an ammunition store get into a volcano?
I don't know. Look, are you gonna fight or not?
I've tried waiting. I gave them a chance to leave. I tried giving this up.
You gave it a good show, Wax. Too good a show.
Waxillium rested his hand on the pistol. Then he picked it up.
So be it.
With his other hand, he poured out his entire pouch of steel into his wine cup, then downed it.
You owe me a point for lying to me, by the way.
Lying?
You said you hadn't brought a gun.
I didn't bring a gun.
Waxillium reached to the small of his back and slid a second pistol out.
You know me better than that, Wayne. I never go anywhere with only one. How much bend alloy do you have?
Not as much as I'd like. The stuff's damn expensive here in town. I got maybe enough for 5 minutes extra time. My metal mines are pretty much full, though. Spent a good 2 weeks sick in bed after you left.
That would give Wayne some healing power, should he get shot. The coldness inside Waxillium melted away and became a flame as he burned steel and pinpointed each and every source of metal in the room. If he froze again...
I won't. I can't. I'll get the girls. You keep the bandits on the south side of me. Our priority is to keep the bystanders alive.
Gladly.
37 armed baddies, Wayne. In a room full of innocents, this is going to be tough. Stay focused. I'll try to clear some space as we start. You can catch a ride if you want.
Perfect as preserves.
Wayne turned and put his back to Waxillium's.
Do you want to know why I really came to find you?
Why?
I thought of you happy in a comfy bed, resting and relaxing, spending the rest of your life sipping tea and reading papers while people bring you food and maids rub your toes and stuff.
And?
And I just couldn't leave you to a fate like that. I'm too good a friend to let a mate of mine die in such a terrible situation.
Comfortable?
No. Boring.
Waxillium smiled, then raised thumbs to hammers. When he'd been young and sought the roughs, he'd ended up going where he'd been needed. Well, maybe that had happened again.
Go!